Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Diz Unlimited podcast, episode 23, coming to you live from the studio that dreams built. I'm going to be your host today, Rhino, and joining me is Hannah Anderson.
Hey, friends.
And Craig Williams.
Hoy, hoy.
That's it. It's the three of us today. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody that this and everything that we do here is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. When you book with them, it costs you nothing extra on your trip, and you help support the channel, all the content that we produce here. So check them out, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And it's also brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you want to learn more about how you can get some exclusive content from different members of the Diz team, as well as joining in on our Patreon post show that happens live immediately following this, you can head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. And just a reminder to make sure that you're subscribed to us on YouTube and that you click that bell so you get notified anytime that we have new videos going out, and hit that thumbs up for us if you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. You'll always want to get the latest episode in your feed. Before we get to today's topics, I want to remind our DCL fans that it is the summer 2025 release week. Mm-hmm. If you're starting to plan a cruise for next summer, this is the week you're going to want to book to lock in the lowest rate. We have a full breakdown of the different itineraries on the latest DCL show episode, and if you want more information on that. But Pearl and Platinum Castaway Club members can book as of the time of this recording, followed by Gold members on Wednesday, the 20th of March, Silver, DVC members, and Adventures by Disney Insiders on Thursday, the 21st, and the general public on Friday, the 22nd of March. If you book through Dreams Unlimited Travel, you'll receive a shipboard credit based on the price of your cruise. That is free money for you to spend as you wish on the ship, along with an awesome Dreams Unlimited Travel gift basket. Gift basket.
For your babies.
The price you pay with Dreams is the exact same price you'd find on Disney's website, but without the shipboard credit and gift basket. So once again, head over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com today. And again, that's why I always say, cost you nothing extra on your trip, but you get a little bonus in there sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
It's maybe you'll even talk to me.
It's a absolutely huge week for people who do want to cruise. So please, please, please get in touch with a Dreams Unlimited travel agent as soon as possible. If you are trying to get the best price on your cruise, it's only going to go up from here. Hannah, do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And this is one thing that I don't know why it continues to surprise me, but it does. If you don't book that first week, you are pretty much guaranteed to pay a higher price. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a travel agent. It's just how it is. So pay the deposit. And if your plans change, that's okay. You have a long time to cancel it or modify it. And the 2025 itineraries are pretty exciting. Like they, I'm really excited about the
a new ship.
Yeah. Hello, new ship. And, you know, we got Lookout Point. We've got all kinds of stuff. So yep.
We did that full breakdown in that DCL show episode. Alaska, European cruises, transit on European cruises on the Fantasy with the transatlantic crossing on that. Just lots of stuff. The Disney Magic sailing out of Port Canaveral. Yes. Good stuff.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there you got it. Well, speaking of Big Daddy, today we're going to be discussing some recent news and then going back to the basics and discussing how many park days you should plan if you come to Walt Disney World yearly. We've got that topic from disboards.com. But first up, breaking news here, literally just released. We have some information. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. We've got information has been revealed about the D23, the Ultimate Disney Fan Event happening in Anaheim, California this year from Friday, August 9th through Sunday, August 11th. There'll be panels, presentations, shopping, and merchandise, plus immersive experiences each day, all day at the Anaheim Convention Center, and at night, the party moves to the Honda Center for the big panels. Friday will be the Disney Entertainment Showcase. Saturday is the Disney Experiences Showcase. And Sunday is the Disney Legends Ceremony. More info could continue to come out as we go on with the show, but right now it appears the three-day Ultimate Fan Pass includes a three-day assigned seat for evening shows at the Honda Center and the Convention Center access starting at $297 per ticket. The one-day tickets start at $99 per ticket, and the D23 Preferred Ultimate Fan Pass three-day ticket with floor seating for evening shows starts at $999 per ticket. A one-day Convention Center only pass is $79 per ticket for Gold members and $89 per ticket for general members, with a three-day pass being $209 per ticket for Gold members and $259 per ticket for general members. It does sound a little confusing, especially I think if you're listening to this, if you are watching this, there was a breakdown on the screen and there will be more information on www.info.com as well. But we were talking about it before the show, and to us, it kind of appears like they're going with concert pricing. Like how you would, how like when they release tickets to a concert, like you go on and you kind of select that seat, and then your pricing of your ticket's going to vary based on where that seat is. So again, floor seats are generally, I feel like, more expensive. So that would be why the $1,000 ticket. We don't have more information if that $1,000 ticket includes any extra perks, but when Craig and I purchased that $1,000 ticket last time to win the Convention Center, it was only at the Convention Center. The panels and presentations and everything were over there. It basically guaranteed us seating in a specific area toward the front, and that was kind of it. We got early access to like the convention floor, I think, and shopping opportunities. But in terms of like, if you have familiar before this, there used to be a Sorcerer's ticket, and they used to give you like a lounge and free items and all these things. So it appears like we don't know more about it, but I would I would guess that $1,000 ticket is just the reserved seating on the floor.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know the layout of the floor right now, but I would assume that it is going to be standard concert layout where there will be a stage all the way at one end, and the floor seating will then be, you know, probably divided into like nine sections that run all along the floor. That's just a guess, though. I would almost like to see a theater in the round, because obviously you have a giant screen that hangs above to like watch all the video clips and stuff. So it would be cool if
the hockey monitor
was able
saying,
to do that. What's that?
If like the hockey or like basketball or whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
The
your Jumbotron. Yeah. Your Jumbotron hangs in the middle. So but I don't know. It makes more sense for them to do it the theater style. But then the odd part about that, which again, we'll have to wait and see once tickets are on sale to see what everything means and how you find out what your assigned seat is. But people could pay $1,000 on the floor, but then if the general tickets are like starting to go up the lower bowl on the side, you might end up being closer to the stage and the celebrities than if you're all the way on the back of the floor. Because that's like my whole thing with concerts. You can sit all the way in the back of the floor and you're like, yeah, you're on the floor. But if you get on the side stage, you actually are closer to the artists that you want to see. And if that's, it's kind of weird to me right now with it.
And my choice usually for a ticket for a concert is like that first section off the floor that's like behind the sound booth. Like you're staring straight ahead at the concert. But I get the appeal with Craig where you're like, well, if you're on the side, you're like right there. And you're like, with my eyes, I see them. Because sometimes that upraised level that's across from the stage, you end up pretty far back. I mean, you're farther back sometimes than you would be if you were on the second or third tier even. But it's like, I think I like that sort of stereoscopic, like I can see it all. I feel like I don't go to a ton of concerts, and when I do, it's like more of a circus presentation.
I don't
so that's why I like that.
I don't pay a lot for concerts.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm a cheap date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think booking this is just going to be kind of stressful is what I heard. And the only thing is, like, after we learn more today, I do now want to go to D23. But, I just imagine, like, when those tickets come available and you're having to – I think it's a great addition, but I think the stress of having to book a seat is going to, like – because you're not going to have a whole lot of time to, like, weigh, like, oh, well, let me hop over and see, like, do I want the floor seat or do I want –
You have to decide going into it. What do you want to do? And
it's
I'll be honest.
It's a stressful moment when you're going to buy the tickets, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And they sold me on it today, at least just on paper, because I was telling Rhino as of last week, I was saying, I'm not buying a ticket.
Yeah. And I said, well, I'm not going by myself.
Please.
I'm not going to invest the money in it. And Rhino's like, well, you got to buy me a ticket since you remember. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I've been telling you to sign up for a D23 membership for years now. You make your own bed in that way. But
he'd be mad if I didn't buy his ticket.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's how it goes. It's called hypocritical. but no, I'm kind of sold on this now, because even at the lower price, I think it's really smart how they're setting this up. No longer do you have to worry about, okay, do I, you know, spend all my time in the morning at these big panels, miss out on the floor?
Yeah.
Now that they're handling it this way, you obviously will have a little bit of time in the morning to hang out at the convention center, do some panels, do your shopping, see the different exhibits that are around. Mm-hmm. And then at night, you have all the big stuff, all the movies in one night, all of the park stuff and experiences the next night, and then wrapping up with the Legend ceremony. That's a good ticket. That's a tight ticket. And yeah, they both lost me and won me back very quickly with it. And I am now extremely excited outside of the cost of what hotels will be in California for this.
Yeah, which I would also say book sooner than later. You can always, a lot of times you can just cancel up to like that 24, 48 hours notice. Yeah. So I would consider doing that. I'm trying to be better about that. I booked a hotel for something that I'm doing 2 weeks later in California in August, that now I'm like, of course, as soon as I book the hotel, I'm like, no, I don't want to do it anymore.
Oh.
but that's why you
cancel
do
it. It's okay.
Yeah. So, you know, while we're talking about D23, I want to talk about the Disney Legend ceremony, which is the thing that got, you know, ooh, Craig back on board. And now Hannah wants to go. So the inductees this year include costume designer Colleen Atwood, who has worked on Alice in Wonderland, Into the Woods, Lady and the Tramp, The Little Mermaid, and more. She likes working with Tim Burton, apparently, is what you've said in here.
Yeah, that's when I was looking at most of her credits, they were surrounding Tim Burton and Dumbo and stuff like that. So she has not been on my radar, obviously. I don't think anyone expects Craig to be into costume designers. It's not my favorite Oscars category, speaking of the Oscars. But hey, good for her. I mean,
yeah, you gotta round it out with everybody. I like Tim Burton just fine.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I mean, computer-generated effects was definitely the worst thing that ever happened to him as a storyteller. Sure. But
you know what? I'm going to repeat this like 900 times as we go through all these legends. I just want to remind you that Tom Hanks is not a Disney legend.
Ooh.
What has he done for Disney?
What?
Apparently absolutely nothing. But what's her name? Colleen Atwood. She will not be a Disney
legend. I'm worried
that
people think I'm serious when I just said that, too. Like, it's fine.
It made me giggle.
It's fine. But, well, maybe he's the surprise guest this year, Craig.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
Next,
oh, my Lord.
Because they do that. They do that.
I'd be on the floor.
Next up and coming. Wait. We didn't even say who was hosting this panel.
Oh, we didn't.
The host this year is not Bob Iger for this panel.
Yeah.
Do you know who it is, Hannah? Did you already read it?
It's Ryan Seacrest, isn't it?
Yeah, which is a part
America's
of me.
Host.
I saw him when he came to the American Idol parade when they opened the attraction here.
I forgot
and I was
about
like,
that.
There he is. There's the famous version of me. Yeah, I wish.
No.
But anyway, next, an up-and-coming actress not many have heard of, Angela Bassett.
Oh, love her.
Big Angela Bassett fan. Can we talk about, though, what Disney movies has she been in?
What? Black Panther.
Well, yeah, obviously Black Panther and Wakanda Forever. And she should have, honestly, like, not should have. I don't know. I don't know how the voting works. I would have liked to have seen her win an Oscar.
I believe she has a couple in with, like, Touchstone. Panther. I'm not 100%
well,
positive.
I was
going to
say,
one,
is Stella, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, is that a Disney movie? Is that under the banner of Touchstone or something?
I would assume.
Did 911 move to ABC? Is that a thing? Was that show on a different network?
I feel like it was a Fox show. I'm not sure if it's on ABC now. But
it is, because I've seen commercials nonstop that say 911 comes to ABC. And I was like, I would have bet money that it was already on ABC.
Well,
but she's on that show.
Yeah,
that's
if Fox created it anyway, so it was all in the family.
I didn't see Soul. Oh, yes, I did see Soul. I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
I thought I was thinking of Wish.
She was in Meet the Robinsons? Huh.
Never saw that. That man in the bowler hat was scary to me.
I mean, listen, we're proving right now in real time why she deserves it, if we had to prove it at all. So,
nah,
I mean, pat ourselves on the back. We can go home after this.
Anyway, I think Angela Bassett is obviously a phenomenally talented. Well, American Horror Story is technically Disney now, too.
So that's right.
That's you know. Anyway, next we've got Martha Blanding, the first permanent full-time black tour guide at Disneyland and the first ever black woman in management at Disneyland before becoming the senior manager of Disneyland Resort Merchandise Special Events. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah. Now, I love when Disney picks out cast members that you might not have heard of and is able to shine a spotlight on them. I mean, it's great that they have like the Walt Disney Legacy Award in the parks, but this obviously is an even bigger honor. So
yeah.
I love that I now know her name because she's going to be a Disney legend. That's great.
I love too when it's people that have worked their way through the company. It's kind of like that, you know, it's like the American dream, the Disney dream.
Right.
It's like the, you know, everybody thinks they're going to be this cast member on this level. And then I mean, clearly she broke down a lot of barriers. So
yeah,
good for her. Next we have James L. Brooks, the TV and film icon who is partially to thank for The Simpsons as well as many other movies and TV shows. I mean, obviously he should, now that Disney owns The Simpsons and that was one of their giant selling points for Disney Plus in the beginning, I feel like that's definitely makes sense. I mean, it's a show that's been on for what season is it? 34? 35?
I've lost count.
I think it's 34 because I'm pretty sure last year was 33, but
yeah, it'd have to be.
It's like almost, it's just, it's dumbfounding really. Like, but he's also, his body of work and it comes to film and stuff like that is pretty impressive. So
yeah. Interesting though, that, James L. Brooks is beating Matt Groening to Disney legend status.
I'm surprised they didn't do them together.
But I mean, I guess James L. Brooks does have, he has TV shows under his belt that aired on ABC and, you know, he's got a little bit more on there. So I get it. I mean, ahoy, hoy.
We got Jimmy Cameron, very small indie film director. I'm sorry. Is this true? He was the creator of the Blue Man Group?
Yeah, the
Blue Man Group. I did not know that either.
Oh, it's a terrible joke. Oh. It's a terrible, terrible joke.
We both walked into it.
Sorry. Aww. And Titanic, little film you might have heard of. Avatar. The 32 Avatar
Those
films
Blue
that
Men.
Disney currently has in development. What did he say now, too? He's like, they're going up to six at least, but I think he's written beyond that now. And I'm just like, my God. Your film career is this book, and the first half of the book, right down to the binding, all individual chapters, and the last half, just all blue.
Not for me.
I mean, here's the thing. I lost track here, but Tom Hanks is still not a Disney legend.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Well, there we go. next,
I mean,
we speaking of the person who beat out Angela Bassett for her Oscar, we have Jamie Lee Curtis from Disney's The Haunting Mansion, Madame Leota herself, and Lindsay Lohan's Freaky Friday, of course. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about this?
I mean, I adore her. So
I mean, I think she is she's one of those like icons in her own right. No?
Jamie Lee
Curtis? She's
daughter
she's
of,
great.
Daughter of Tony Curtis and wow.
Janet Leigh.
Yeah, I can't believe I just slipped on that name.
It's okay. I mean,
I was thinking about
here's the thing. Love Jamie Lee Curtis, but if my memory serves me well, Tom Hanks is still not a Disney legend.
Oh, God. Okay, so we're going to make t-shirts after this show. They're going to be called Tom Hanks is Still Not a Disney Legend, and there you go. All right, so after that, we've got Harrison Ford, best known for The Call of the Wild with that CG dog, and 6 Days, 7 Nights, starring Anne Heche. Not much else. That guy's career, I don't know, didn't really go anywhere.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah. The Apple TV show Shrinking.
Oh, yeah. He was great in that.
Yeah.
He was great in that. I mean, okay. This is maybe the second on this list. Third on the list I can actually get behind. I'm behind Angela Bassett. Hmm. Everyone in the chat is like blowing up right now all the things that Angela Bassett did. And
right.
At this point, I'm like, okay, yeah. Angela Bassett, actually, I feel like she
has earned
it.
Is it everyone or just
it.
Trey?
No.
I didn't even look at it, but I know Trey loves Angela Bassett.
You're not, you're only half right.
Okay.
Or half wrong. But yeah, definitely it's everyone's chiming in. Like little stuff that we forgot about how she was the voice of our 50th anniversary fireworks show.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Just a ton of stuff. Oh. So there's plenty to justify Angela Bassett.
Should host. She should host and give herself
host
the award.
And?
Yeah. Next award goes to me. Thank you.
I think you weren't in the room yet, but I made the joke that I said that Ryan Seacrest was going to do that himself.
He
was
going sure to
walk out on stage. The first recipient of the 2024 Disney Legends Award goes to
me,
Ryan Seacrest. Because
down,
obviously,
Seacrest.
American Idol, the host of Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve every year.
He brought us the Kardashians.
Oh, well, I don't care for that. Yeah, but I do think that Ryan Seacrest probably should be a legend at this point. The man is prolific in entertainment.
Can I remind you?
Tom Hanks is not still bad, not a blah, Disney blah, legend. Blah. Next, we have Marvel icons Steve Ditko, who was the co-creator of Spider-Man and many other Marvel heroes as well. I think that goes without saying. He definitely should be a Disney legend as well. We've got animator Mark Henn, best known for his cameo on Full House's The House Meets the Mouse, but also painting Mickey's 90th anniversary portrait and a few other projects. Do you know what those other projects are?
I mean, a lot. Mickey's Christmas Carol through so much of the
I want to start with that one.
Jeez. He's literally done so many things. So incredible. As an animator, he's absolutely deserving of Disney legend status. But, you know, I had to throw in the part for The House Meets the Mouse because he's the one who
invites that part.
He invites Joey into the animation studios at MGM, and that's when Joey makes his little cartoon drawing that comes to life. So a great, great episode of television that I think we'll never, ever forget.
Two episodes.
Technically
part
two.
One
yeah.
and part two.
I mean, I think most people are like me. I watch it as one.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. Well, we also have Frank Oz, best known for voicing characters in Monsters, Inc., Inside Out, and Inside Out 2. Who is he in Inside Out? It's also Yoda, just so people know.
I was like, wait a second. Why do we keep doing this?
Listen, I only had so much time to write the script, so I chose the highlights of these people's career.
And Yoda was not on there.
It slipped my mind. I'm not really a fan of Star Wars.
I really hope. Is he going to accept the award? Thankful I am. That would be amazing.
No. So following Frank Oz on Twitter, he'll either be the most engaging with people who are fans of him, or he will be the most bitter person in the world. So you just don't know who's going to show up with there. You're not wrong. No, there's Inside Out. I believe he is, you know, the two people that are in the far world that are the ones like organizing the balls.
Oh.
I think he's one of those ones.
Was he the original Miss Piggy?
Frank Oz was the voice of Miss Piggy, among other Muppets, but I'm not really a fan of the Muppets, so I can't quite tell you who he did.
Who decorated your corner? Mm-hmm. All right, we've got Kelly Ripa from Live with Regis and Kelly.
Wait, it's just Live with Kelly and her husband now.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's Live with Regis and Kelly.
What happened to Regis? I haven't tuned in a while.
Yeah.
No, it was Live. Who was after Regis, though? It was Regis and Kelly, and then it was Regis. Regis and
Ryan Seacrest. No,
I'm like, are you joking right now?
Do you think that, well, further to prove my point that it was Ryan Seacrest? I thought he was just a substitute, though.
I think he was.
And then, well, it was Michael Strahan.
No, it was Live with Kelly and Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I guess that counts.
If the name is in it.
So who took over for Ryan then? Was
then
it
Michael Strahan?
And then her husband.
Mark. And then the husband. Yeah. And then they rotated through the host for a while.
Well, they did the host, and now the husband's the host with Kelly.
That's cute.
What's his name again?
Mark Consuela.
Yes.
Then we got Joe Rohde.
I don't know from experience.
Do your ears hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? One Mr. Joe Rohde. You didn't write a joke in there, so I didn't.
Yeah, you that one.
That
well, you
was
joked
good,
about all
I
these other people.
One.
I don't know why you are so sensitive about Joe Rohde.
Because I said no jokes need to be made about Joe Rohde. He's very, very deserving of Disney legend status.
Shocking that he is not already wasn't one of the original.
Yeah,
he was still working within the company, and I think that would not that like you know I know Mark Henn still shows up for expos and stuff. So, but I think it's also different when it's like. Hi, I'm still this very active person.
Michael Strahan was before Ryan. I was right. I just checked it.
Oh, okay. Flipped it, reversed it. But good no, job. I think Joe Rohde, you know, had he not left the company, I still don't think he would be a legend. If he was still doing every single project right now, that would be weird to be like, oh, hi, I'm still controlling so much and I'm a Disney legend. Bow to me.
I don't know. I think I'm going to be a conspiracy theorist. I think there's more to it because he had a departure and the rumor is he's coming back as a consultant.
I've seen that rumor, but I also believe that I saw Len Testa say that he hasn't heard anything about it. And if Len Testa said he hasn't heard anything about it,
I'm gonna say lies on that.
I'm not a rumor mill person. I will follow them loosely, but I don't engage and I don't pretend like I have any inside information. But I I'm not sure on that. I'm not sure. So isn't he still working for one of the space companies? I don't even remember now.
I don't know. He's just an adventurer out there. Mm-hmm. The society of, you know,
quite
explorers and adventurers.
You're saying adventurers out there. Perfect.
I am.
Well, next we've got composer John Williams.
No. Who?
Yeah, never. He's done a couple of movie scores. Young guy.
Say the joke.
Best known for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. He was nominated for an Oscar for that score.
He was.
Yeah, that was a pity Oscar because that score was not very good.
I mean, it was I enjoyed not bad.
The movie. It's fine.
Yeah, still epic. You can't mess with Indiana Jones.
Yeah. And then finally, we got Miley Cyrus. Daddy. Mm-hmm. She won a Grammy. Now she's going to win a Disney Legend.
She's having a moment.
Can I just say,
what has she done for Disney? I'm obviously kidding.
Yeah, I know. I know you're kidding. She was in the Warner Brothers. I believe she was in the Warner Brothers picture Big Fish, if I remember
Miley
correctly.
Miley Cyrus? No, she's not.
Oh, she was as
she
a kid.
She absolutely was.
Yeah.
Who was she?
So it was back before she was Miley. It's whatever her original name is.
I don't remember
it. But watch that movie. Anyway, it doesn't Burton, matter because I need to point out that it's great that Miley's getting it.
But you know
but
who's not?
You know who's not a Disney legend?
What if
Tim
he's
Hanks,
a surprise?
Tom's brother.
Yeah, that's right. Or his son.
And Jim Hanks will, because he's voiced more for Disney.
Sit down.
He has voiced more for Disney than I think Tom Hanks has himself. So.
Wait, really?
Anytime they need, so Woody on their rides and merchandise and offshoots, unless it's like an official Toy Story movie or the 2-3 television specials, however they did, anything else is Tom Hanks's brother doing it. So, I mean, maybe.
Genius.
But
Tom Hanks should be getting Disney Legend. What if he's a surprise winner? What if they bring him out at the end?
That
would be pretty cool.
They could have done it 1900 times at this point if they were going to.
He's not going to be in it because
Tim Allen has been a legend since I think the 90s, and one of the first ceremonies I went to is when they made it for John Goodman and Billy Crystal. So like it's
Mike and Sully.
Yeah, and I mean at some point though, like when is Tom gonna get his due?
But maybe he doesn't want his steam.
Does he have skeletons in his closet? I mean, I know there's always rumors about that, but I'm not stirring that up.
I'm saying I think maybe it's a two-way street, and he's like, no, I'm good.
Oh, guys, I don't care. Okay, so I'm sure we'll hear more at about D23 2024, but the internet right now is buzz. I just watched The Fifth Element the other day again. Mm. with the hopes that Animal Kingdom will soon begin construction or on whatever is going to replace Dinoland USA. A permit was filed to the South Florida Water Management District, and it shows that Walt Disney Imagineering is planning to add 4 Imagineering trailers and a contractor trailer plus parking spaces in Animal Kingdom. Location is in the Asia area of the park, making some speculate it has nothing to do with Dinoland USA, but with Epcot finishing up its final construction project soon, as well as Tiana's Bayou Adventure, it feels like Animal Kingdom has to be next on Disney's target.
Yeah, absolutely.
I paused too long to make you think that I was welcoming conversation.
No, keep going.
And I was not welcome.
It was very impactful.
I would prefer it wait till I answer the door.
Okay.
Reflections.
Keep knocking. As a reminder, at the 2022 D23 Expo, Disney teased Moana and Zootopia for this area as part of a blue sky pitch. Zootopia is coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom as a replacement for It's Tough to Be a Bug inside of the Tree of Life Theater, which was announced at Destination D23 in 2023, where the blue sky concept was also updated to tease Encanto and Indiana Jones as possible replacements or as replacement experiences for what they'd call Tropical Americas. Here's the thing. There's no word on when Tough to Be a Bug is even closing, right?
No.
Not as far as I know.
So that could also still change, I feel like.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, I think the Zootopia is going through with It's Tough to Be a Bug, but I would assume that that's going to close sometime before Expo. Otherwise, it's a little, I mean, it still could close after Expo, but a little goofy to be like, hey, we announced this in 2023 and we still couldn't get it together to start rolling on this project until after 2024.
Sounds on brand.
Wow. Hannah throwing swings at Disney. That's there. Fired. So I feel like I feel like maybe that's going to come more towards the end of the summer, if that it's going to roll along before Expo starts, to, you know, keep people like excited. Cause at the same time too, how I'm not going to be excited if I go to Expo and they're like, hey, remember that Zootopia project coming to Tree of Life? It's tough to be a bug being replaced by that. Yeah. Well, it's still happening. I'm going to be like, did I just spend $300 to $1,000 to hear this news a second time? So I feel like they're going to get started on that. But I mean, there's no other project that is more deserving right now than Animal Kingdom. So I would hope that they surprise everyone and they break ground in like the next couple months on whatever they need to do for Dinoland USA. So that way at Expo, they can say, hey, guess what? We broke ground already. We're already on the way to do this, and whatever the actuality is of the project.
Well, it's funny because the memory on my phone filled up, and just like this morning or like last night, I was going through like the videos that are taking up larger space. And so they weren't in order. They were just randomized by how large the video was. And one is from D23 where Bob Chapek is on stage and he's presenting about Avengers Campus. And I'm looking at the video and I'm like, when is this video? Like, you know, it says the date on it. I'm like, 2022. I'm like, is this D23? And like, they talk about, it's a very awkward presentation too, if you don't remember it, but it was like, look what we're going to build here at Disney California Adventure in the Avengers Land. That was a project that was announced as happening. And I'm like, I don't know if they officially announced it wasn't, but that's the second attraction they've announced for the same area that still seems like it's never going to happen. Yeah. So I can't wait to see what we get announced this year.
I still think they're going through with the e-ticket for Avengers. It's just, it did shift from the original concept into the next one that they announced. I still think that's going to come, but you still have a valid point though, Rhino, that until it's actual like vertical construction that you can see with your own eyes, it is very hard to trust that anything is actually going to come of it. But we've been talking about it enough. It's one of those holes that Animal Kingdom right now just needs to fill, because Dinoland USA is just a joke in terms of its place in the parks. And
hey, 2-year-olds love it. I can attest to that.
That is great for 2-year-olds. I'm glad that they have something to love and enjoy. I know my under 2-year-old also loved running around the seas with Nemo and friends the other day and Journey of Water. So yeah. There's other things for kids that I don't think have a memory that lasts more than like 30 seconds.
That's true. So my only question about construction is, we're heading into, obviously it's spring break right now, we're heading into summer. I feel like if they're going to break ground on this stuff, it's going to be, you know, right before D23. Yeah. I'm not sure that they're really going to do much between now and then, maybe.
I think that's fine. That's the way that it plays out, because they just filed these permits with the South Florida Water Management District. So first they got to build their trailers and such. Yeah. That is what that's for. And then they can shift focus on that plot of land. Mm-hmm. And really what's going on there. So it might be until August or the first week of September. But even if they can do a goofy photo of them like they did with the Blue Man Group for Pandora, where it's all them standing with shovels. The Blue Man Group, it was these tall people. Tall people that use with their tails for many very interesting things. So good stuff. So I think they need to get at least to that step though, and Disney fans might trust them a little more, because meanwhile, down the street at Epic Universe, their roller coasters are just running nonstop on tracks, and it's getting further and further along.
I think it's going to be a great big year for D23, though. I mean, I think this is going to be the year. So
I think that every year. I like going to D23, and I'm excited for it. Yep. But we're just going to have to wait and see how long this all takes. And while we also don't know what's going to happen at Magic Kingdom's Frontierland, we know a bit more about what's happening at Critter Country and its revitalization at Disneyland Park. So beginning May 1st, 2024, Critter Country will temporarily close, except for Hungry Bear Restaurant. The Briar Patch store will be converted into Ray's Berets, including headwear, apparel, accessories, toys, and more, with the resurrected Firefly Raymond and his Firefly kin in the coziest cabin in Critter Country. The left-hand side of Pooh Corner will become Lewis's Critter Club, featuring apparel, accessories, home decor, and more, featuring Princess Tiana and her favorite critters. The other side of Pooh Corner will remain unchanged with 100 Acre Wood merchandise and those severed Tigger tails that everybody loves.
They do love those.
I've had them. They're good.
They are good.
I enjoy. I will attest. You know what?
It's a good little confession.
I'm not a marshmallow person, so I do not enjoy Tigger tail.
Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm. Love Tigger, but don't like his tail. So if there was a meat tail, like if it was a meat kebab and they just painted it orange, I'd be all down for that.
Yeah, go to Adventureland. Okay. When are we going to get a gift shop here in Magic Kingdom? And there's also, I'm just going to say this, I feel like there was all this Tiana merch.
Well, there is the.
And then but it's gone again.
Well, there was that gift shop for Splash Mountain, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a small gift shop over there?
Yeah. It's just still there, still rocking. I mean, well, there's the Splash Mountain one that was like at the exit with the ride photos, and then there was...
Then there's another small one, right?
Yeah.
You have. We also had I believe it was the Briar Patch that was right up under the hill once you were coming down before you got to the entrance on the left-hand side. So who knows if they're going to utilize that space for that. I would think it would make more sense to probably use that for like queue space, considering as you exit Splash Mountain, Splash Mountain, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, that gift shop is, I feel like it's big enough to handle everything, whereas with Disneyland, they were put in a position where I'm sure they would have rather taken over all of that Pooh area and had that all be just Tiana stuff. But
he said Pooh.
those Disneyland people would have lost their minds if they wouldn't have been able to get Tigger Tails one exact spot.
Well, so, I always assumed the Hungry Bear was related to Winnie the Pooh, so I was like, well, he's got his own little restaurant.
No,
I know Tigger Tails is like one of their like signature things to get.
And Hungry Bears was more inspired by Country Bear Jamboree,
it sure was.
And that's why that was all part of Critter Country before Pooh was even there. Pooh evicted the Country Bears.
Yeah, I went. It was already Winnie the Pooh.
Well, let me give you a history lesson.
Oh, great.
No, save it for connecting with Walt. But we are going to stay over at Disneyland right now and move on to talking about Pixar Fest, which begins April 26th through August 4th. And Disney had shared some more new looks at what to expect. There's updated concept art for Better Together, a Pixar Pals celebration parade that showcases Joe Gardner, who is just painfully, awkwardly standing with a band on a float to celebrate the movie Soul. This concept art, I was like, so there's just going to be a guy up there, like in a turtleneck with a hat on, and they couldn't have picked a picture of him smiling from the movie or something.
It freaking kills me.
It's like
I don't pay enough to be here.
It looks like sort of that, do you remember the Saturday Night Live skit where they picked the lady with the rice to be in the Indiana Jones show?
Yeah.
It feels like that. My rice.
I just don't even know. Like, he's just up there. Is he just going to be like smiling and
that's the funniest part.
I mean, I can't see the concept art well enough to know if it's hidden somewhere in there, but
he should be a feature.
It is so awkward, though.
It is.
I'm happy Soul's a part of it. Soul's great. I really enjoyed that movie.
But that band is going to be rocking out, and then
this
Joe's
guy
just going to be standing
with nothing in his hand, just being like,
"This would be me on a float, guys."
I mean, I'm assuming maybe he'll do a little conducting. I don't know.
He should be playing piano.
I don't know, but
that would make sense. That would make too much sense, actually. But then, what would the piano girl have to do down there? Absolutely nothing.
Well, there's also we also got to see a Luca float that's going to bring up, Craig has described it as some nightmare fuel, with a half submerged Luca showing off human on the top, merperson on the bottom. Is that going to also be a small, do you think that'll be like Miguel when we see Miguel, which is still like scary to me? Miguel's head is way too big for his body. And
I'm not going to lie. Based on the size of the humans in the concept art, I think this is going to look more like the rest of the Coco float.
So you think it'll be a fake?
I think it'll be, yeah, I think they're all going to be just kind of statues that are like moving around and such.
That's good.
So, I prefer that, I think.
Otherwise, I don't want to see a cast member riding a Vespa. up a hill in the background of it, getting ready to jump over Luca. I don't even know if Luca's his name. I forget the movie entirely.
I haven't seen
his
that
name
one
is Luca, though. Right?
Yeah. To be honest with you,
it's
one of them, I think.
Well, you know what's weird about the Joe Gardner float? Somebody just brought it on the chat. They're like, surely they're going to put him behind the piano, right, or something? Like that would have made way more sense.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's like how they put him playing in the stairwell at Pixar Hotel, like the thing. So I can't wait to go see that for ourselves. But there is an awesome Pizza Planet truck popcorn bucket that is the latest bit of FOMO plastic hitting Disneyland. And listen, it comes with a cute little
alien
pizza driver that comes out of that truck, which is cute. There'll be plenty of opportunities, I should say, to get Pixar Wiggles out at the Pixar Pals Playtime Party coming to Fantasyland Theater, which is a high energy show as well as interactive games, photo spots, and activities. And if you didn't get enough Pixar Wiggles out there, head over to Club Pixar at the Hollywood backlot in Disney California Adventure, which is a nighttime party inspired by Pixar with a DJ, dance party, live performances, games, photo ops, themed food, crafted beverages, and more.
This is for the parents. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I was going to say that's definitely reminiscent of when they did the tea party back there. But then the thing that I never got to see and I really wish I had was the Electronica thing they used to do. Oh, and I'm like hoping they bring that back for that new movie. But it's interesting. People are familiar with this, I believe, if you are in California, have been going to those parks for a while. Yeah. But
Mad Tea Party was a good time. I never got to do Electronica, but Mad Tea Party I actually even enjoyed as much as the theme didn't get me, but like the performers they always had out there. It was like, yeah, if I wasn't out here for work, I could definitely see coming out here on a weekend night and have a couple drinks and just, you know, listen to the live music.
And dance.
Pretty Craig's upbeat. Not dance, but get pretty close. Dance. So I want to.
Oh, he's a dancer.
So with the Fantasyland Theater one, I love all of the concept art. The one thing I'm like baffled by is
the slice
they didn't,
of watermelon.
The slice of watermelon is one thing. We see the photo ops in there. I guess what they've kind of implying is they couldn't find any space for this.
Yes.
That wasn't in a theater because clearly no one's going to just sit in the theater and watch this. That's why they didn't bother putting anyone in there. But it's all going to take place on the theater floor. So this is a weird one for me. The Lion King show that was running in there for, you know, the past couple of years, that show was incredible. Mickey and the Magical Map, that was an incredible show. Yeah. And then it's like, this is what the Fantasyland Theater is getting. I wish it was something else, but oh well.
I'm debating if I show these to my kid because I think I'll end up spending a lot of time here and I'm not quite sure that I do.
You and I will be there at the same time. Craig, are you going for this too? Did you say you were going before us, right?
John might send me out separately.
Yeah.
He will get to dance.
Separately at a different time than us.
I hope, because if it's at the same time as you, I won't be there because that's Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You think that why didn't you say anything about it being a robbery that there's no Tom Hanks meet and greet at this Pixar?
I was about to say something.
I don't. Just based on the concept art of Joe from Soul on that float, I don't want Tom Hanks to the actual.
He could be
body
the Simpsons
of
version of himself.
I do love that version of him. That's probably my favorite version of him.
Well, finally, Disney might lose its most rabid fans from time to time, but somehow they almost always find a way to win them back. The latest Goodwill tour included a stop from chief flight attendant of Soarin', Patrick Warburton, as he surprised guests only staged in the B section of Soarin' with plenty of cameras around after hearing the important safety tips he delivered. Also, I like when they do stuff like this, but if you know anything about like filming anything, you can look and see and tell by what clothes people are wearing if they knew ahead of time. Because it's weird that no one's wearing any graphic tees in this or anything. They're all wearing Disney specific merchandise too. So I still think this is a lot of fun. It's crazy though, because if I was Patrick, I'd be like bummed out if the really younger looking version of me was right above my head.
Oh,
I mean, he still looks great, but he's definitely great. And he has this mustache, which I'm like, oh, I wish he had that mustache in that original video.
Oh, I know,
like,
right?
I want to learn one day how they pick who gets to do this stuff, because like even in the reaction shots, you can see while they instructed everyone to clap with it, there are clearly some people who have no idea who he was, even though they just watched the video of him. And it's just like,
I would have guessed these are cast members. That's how they do things here. It's like cast members and their families.
You know what? Looking at this group, I could absolutely believe that they are all cast members.
Yeah, so, that would
and being
be my
like,
guess.
Oh, we're going to do it. Well, look, there's nobody. They just showed it. There's nobody behind. I thought you could see the other lines. That's why I was like,
that was part of the sarcastic joke that you kind of missed in the reading of it, saying that they were all conveniently only placed in the B group,
mm-hmm. which is the best way,
which
to
is
see
the middle one. And there was also a bunch of camera crews around, so clearly they had no idea that anything was about to happen.
Yeah. Well, I wish it had been me. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jealous. Oh, no, that,
I'm still jealous.
I am every time that happens, from Dwayne The Rock Johnson taking over as a Jungle Cruise skipper to Josh Gad taking over as a Jungle Cruise skipper to now Patrick Warburton to Hannah taking over as a Jungle Cruise skipper.
Sorry.
And Patrick Warburton. I mean, that's it. And there's so many people out there that are just like, I would have came with my face painted completely. You got to support the team.
Face painted?
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, man. You guys truly aren't Putty fans then.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
I would have probably picked the other Disney-owned property, which is Family Guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could have.
I would not have.
Does Disney not own Warner Brothers?
No, I don't think so. I think they just partnered for that one movie.
Yeah. Which one was that again?
Baby Herman something.
What?
I was trying to make a joke, but I couldn't remember any of Baby Herman's, the film names that he was in, where he's like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is the joke I'm making.
Okay,
God, it's a bad joke.
But okay, yeah.
Anyway, Disney. There are Disney characters in that movie. It's a Warner Brothers made movie, but anyway.
I gotcha.
All right, well, we got our topic now we got to talk about. Moving on to the featured topic, an interesting thread popped up over on Disboards in the Theme Park Attractions and Strategies Forum asking, for those who take yearly trips, how many park days? The thread from user KMP12 says, we are at the point of going yearly, trying to reel in our spending on our trips since we plan on trying to go once a year. How many park days do you typically do? This year, the poster has 4 park days planned, 2 at Magic Kingdom, 1 at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and 1 at Epcot, skipping Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Hot take.
And they want to know what others say. Do you want me to? Let's get our input before we do.
I'd say we should. Yeah, well, we should give our opinions on it. So, if we're talking a stereotypical 7-day stay at Walt Disney World, how many park days would you plan? Again, we don't live in Florida. We're not annual pass holders. We're just coming down for vacation. What would you do? And I think this is a great conversation. It kind of comes off of last week when we were talking about park hopping and such, because I got home and my wife told me that I was completely wrong about park hopping.
Oh, God. She heard what I said about her cooking.
No, I don't think she listened that long.
Okay.
We got into a debate about park hopping where she's like, no, you're completely wrong about park hopping. And her and I vacation.
Like we were completely right.
Yeah. Her and I vacation so completely differently. And
she's
I know
that
you guys can have fun again.
We will
take care. When I vacation, I like to get stuff accomplished. I like to feel like I got my money's worth out of it. And I know
you. Not me. I like to relax.
That is why you go to a national park. That's why you go
been there, done that, baby.
Somewhere else. Yes, I know you've been to one national park, Anna. Time to add 3 in there. Mm-hmm. So, extreme vacation. So I know my answer would be different from you. And I mean, the answers are all over the place in Disboards too.
Well, give us your answer. What is it?
My answer, a 7-day vacation or 7 nights, however we want to go with it. I think I would be at 5 days.
I think the nights is important. I want to know how many times you're sleeping there.
So
if you're saying 7 nights, that's important. Because then it's like, are we counting in the day? Are you counting the day you come in and the day you leave as days? Because I would not want to do that.
No.
I mean, I think we've talked about it when we talked about that with the water park one. I wouldn't necessarily go to a park on the first day unless you were getting there very early in the morning and could utilize the most time of it.
I mean, if it was free, I would.
Yeah. But
that's the difference. I guess that's the difference, is the perspective there is like, are you annual pass holders?
I would say
a lot of people who come down once a year are.
Well, and you start saving more on the ticket after the 4th day. So then if you're already, you know, at 4, do you do 5? Yeah.
I do have my number.
I mean, so if they're an annual pass holder, I'm assuming that you know, they're coming down more than once a year. If they're only coming once a year, I'm saying they're buying just regular tickets. And if you're in that position, I would say five.
I'm
that
saying five, too. That's number. My number two.
Okay. That's cute because my number's five.
Oh, my God. Look at us. We're all fives.
So my family, that's how we used to do it. And we would get the five-day military ticket. And we like hanging out at the hotel. Like, we like the resorts. And so we would do 5 days, and we would do 2 down days. And we would either do Disney Springs, a water park, or just enjoy the pool at the hotel. And plus, you know, you reach a point where you're just tired.
Well, so I feel like I've had an experience like that recently. It was last year, my friends CJ and Brandon and I, we went to the Pride event at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And we did the Thursday night one. And so I think we flew in Wednesday night, and then it was like, I can't remember if it was like Thursday, Friday, and then we left on Saturday or something like that, I think. But we definitely overdid it because we did do a day for Universal Hollywood. And after we were done with that day, my friend was basically like, one of them was like, I'm not happy that we went here. However, they were like, I don't think I enjoyed it very much because one, it was like way too hot, way too crowded. But they were like, but also my legs and feet hurt so much.
Yeah.
I wish we had just stayed at Disneyland and either done another day there or just did nothing. Like just like went to some like somewhere in California and did some stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I took that and like sat with it for a while and thought about it. And I was like, yeah, you know what? It's right. Because like it was especially at Hollywood, it was really hard because it's like you have to go if you don't know, the park is like separated by two different, like you have to go, there's one floor and then there's a second floor. So it's a lot of walking. Like there's a lot of places to go. And it was just one of those where it became exhausting. And I was like, so we're planning to go this year and maybe do two of those nights. And I was like, well, one day we're going to try and not do anything. Or we're going to go to like the Academy Awards, the Motion Picture Museum and in the middle. So it's like, okay, it's a short day. Right. So that's why I was like, because that was the other thing where he was like, you know, it is still a vacation. And I was like, you know, that's a valid point. Mm. And so, and the perspective for me is they're all people who are buying tickets, but I have that magic key holder. So I was like, I don't care. Like we can go in as little or not as for me, it doesn't matter to me. I can literally walk in for 30 minutes, do the one ride I want and leave. And, but that's how I feel about like thinking about like a 7 day at Disneyland. If I was coming on a 7 day trip to Walt Disney World and we were staying at like, even if it was just one of the moderate or value resorts, I'd still be like, you know what?
The pools are great.
The pool. Yeah. Where are you coming from? I flew back from Milwaukee just the other day. And when you're coming here, it's a lot of those people who are starting their Orlando like trip. Right. And so it was funny because it was like, I wouldn't say snowing. It was like there were flurries in the morning when I was on the way to the airport. And there were people who were saying snowing. I'm like, that's not snowing. But like they were like when the captain said 86 degrees, I was just like rolling my eyes. But the people in front of us was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's actually 86 degrees today.
Thrilled.
And like, oh, my God. You know, so it's like there's that aspect of it where you forget when you're like in the boiling pot the whole time. But yeah, the like you and I know would enjoy spending time at the bars.
Yeah.
You know,
would.
The pool, the hotel, just like waking
when
up late, resting
that,
your feet.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I will say to Craig's point, I on park days, like my family, like we would be there park open. Like we had a strategy. We would hit it pretty hard. So like, yeah, but you do need to rest. And then also I don't want to spend my park days sleeping in.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to sleep in, but you know, if I'm paying for a park ticket, I want to get my money's worth. So.
Well, and if with Florida, I feel like doing a fifth day, it's like, I always say like, so you get one free park,
yep.
But then also it gives you that last day to be like, okay, what did I really like? Mm-hmm. What do I want to try and do again? Or what did I miss? You know, and with the weather, you know, as it, depending on what time of year you're coming, it could be like, well, I couldn't go and do this one thing because it rained. You know, oh, the parade was really important to me, but I missed it because it was raining. Like, it gives you that extra shot to get back and do some highlights, you know?
Agreed. Yeah.
The hard part is, I mean, a lot of my experiences are swayed by the pricing in the 90s and early 2000s where the prices of hotels didn't skyrocket. So my family always took as much advantage of the pools and rest days as possible.
Yeah.
That's like, so I'm still with that too. Like if we're talking, you have that full schedule, like get in Saturday, leave the next Saturday. I'm looking at, you know, you get in, enjoy that night, then do 3 days of park days in a row, take a rest day, and then do two, and then Yeah. You have your departure day on that. I think that's a great plan for me. But the difference now, too, is that the price of hotels have skyrocketed so much that now I feel like that's changed the culture with hotels and relaxing with them. Because back in the day when they were more reasonably priced, it was a place to stay that you also wanted the nicer amenities that went with it if you were going to spend a little bit more. But it was a place to rest your head for the night. And if it was on property, you got other perks too. Now, if you're spending $600-$700 a night to stay at, you know, a Polynesian or Grand Floridian, That completely warps it all. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're like, no, I have to stay at this hotel. If I'm spending this much, I have more invested in the actual hotel experience than I do the park experience.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I do. I dislike to an extent. And, you know, it makes those moderates and values a little bit more attractive in that way that you feel like, you know, I can not stay here as much because I'm not paying that same premium. But I think that's tough.
Kind of the tip. I think you're saying a tip, though, essentially is being like, what's the experience you want on the vacation?
Right.
Do you want to have more of that hotel time because of that price tag too? And be like, and say like, oh, well, this is, you know, this trip, yes, we're coming down for that week, but we want to take it. We're going to do the parks, but we're going to take it light in the parks so that we can enjoy the hotel and all the amenities that it has to offer.
Yeah. Like if you're staying deluxe at this point, I think it is one of those things where you have to be deciding upfront, like, I want a different type of vacation. I want a more relaxed, easygoing. Dare I say that a deluxe vacation is for more of that annual pass holder affinity group in the same way DVC is, where it's like, I'm coming a couple times a year, so it's,
you can just
go in, do what I want, go back,
get my taste for the day. And
exactly.
Then like, it's the like, oh, I got out of bed this morning and I rode Guardians of the Galaxy and then I went back to the hotel, you know? And there's people that really enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just, for me, I still love the parks. That's what draws me to visit. I like doing other things as well too. Obviously, I love eating. If you have the time, I'm okay with resort hopping. Disney Springs, if I didn't live here anymore, I don't know if that would be on my list of must-dos anymore.
I always tell people, I'm like, I don't think you have to go there. Like, there's not, like my friend was trying to ask me about it because they didn't understand. They hadn't been since they were a little kid who visited recently. And they were just here for the one day. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll take you to Disney Springs. And I was like, but why?
I don't know. So I know exactly what you're talking about, but I'm always surprised. Like, I know a lot of people who come down and like they do a whole day of Disney Springs. And I think I think it depends on where you're from, you know, and like ages of your kids. Cause like they
I just can't imagine a whole day.
I know. Yeah. Things like going to the M&M store was like a big deal.
The balloon, I guess, too, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so I get it. Yeah. For me, it would be a drive, you know, your arrival day.
I'm fine going being like, hey, let's go have our, you know, maybe that is the relaxation day. That's the day where you're like, we're not going to go in the parks, but you're like, you know, let's go to a nice lunch. Let's go to a, you know, an early dinner or something. I don't know. Or, like, you know, whatever.
I understand it on your final day. If like, okay, get last minute merch stuff. But and so if you have a restaurant that you love, like if you can't not be there without eating at Wine Bar George or Boathouse or
Raglan Road,
to my confusion, Raglan Road, for a lot of people out there, according to YouTube comments, like I understand it from that perspective, but it's just become so generic in terms of what the offerings are that I don't get it anymore. Like, I mean, I'm really dating myself on it, but I still remember our first trips when that's where Chef Mickey's was in the marketplace.
Oh, wow,
so that was part of the big draw of going there. And now it's outside of dining. It's like, oh, everyone's carrying around Lego bags. I do the same thing too as a local that's my closest Lego store. But even then, 99% of the time, I'm like, I'll just order this online and it'll get delivered at my house. And that'll be so much simpler. So
you get the discount when you go to the store.
Not usually on the sets that I'm buying.
Well, so, I guess that's true. I always think I'm getting it. I'm like, do you guys do the discount? And like, no. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, so it's tough. Disney Springs, it makes little sense for me anymore. But I mean, I still respect anyone who adds it into their vacations. But I don't know. I feel like I would be faster to go to. I would find more value, and you'd see me go faster to a water park than anything else. And that's with my disgust of water parks. But Yeah.
You're the one who keeps bringing them up.
You know what? I'm just psyching them. I'm psyching myself up for the fact that my son's going to drag me to a water park one day.
Absolutely.
And I better start getting on board with the fact of about water parks, or I don't know what else I'll do. Rhino, what do the boards people say, though?
Well, I'm one of the board people. Just kidding.
Dang.
Nailed it. No, we have Princess Marina says, we are doing 3 full park days, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot, and a Hollywood Studios After Hours event on our upcoming 7-night trip.
Clever.
With rising prices and my disdain for Genie Plus, we will likely take it down to a ticketed event and one additional park day or 2 ticketed events if we can work that out going forward. I think that's, you know, that's what I'm considering with this. We're going to the Pride event, hopefully, whenever the tickets go on sale again. I said we want to try and do both events. But that's an after hours ticketed event. And I was like, well, how do I work California Adventure into it? And that's my like. But I'm thinking like, oh, well, we wouldn't like one night we can do the parade, the fireworks, the experiences, and then the other night the ticketed event, it's like no one's gonna be doing those rides in the park.
Yeah,
so we'll be able to go through every one of those rides and I feel like get the most out of that. But Tatera says, we usually go at least twice a year and never do more than 2 park days per trip. In the past, we have even done 0 park days, but now we usually do at least 1.
Wow, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. That feels like, why are you even here?
Not to
be rude. I'm just like,
it's a lot of work to come here.
If someone was in this group was going to say that they could go to Walt Disney World without a park day, I would say it would be Hannah.
And oh, yeah.
I don't understand.
Put me in
the
Polynesian. I'll be there forever.
My brain cannot compute. As a local, it can compute, but as going.
I can survive not going to Epcot. It is right now. I don't know. If it's not like a regular day, I don't know. It's one of the.
Right.
If I don't live here and I come down and you're like, okay, you've got to pick and choose between all your children, I'd say probably Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd want to go to Hollywood Studios because I love Star Wars and Baseline Tap House. That's the whole thing. But
obviously.
Yeah, but like, you know, there's a lot more that draws me there. And plus, I do like Fantasmic.
On Animal Kingdom.
I like Animal Kingdom. Would be, Epcot is my like 4th and final. You cannot bring that park up higher for me yet.
All right.
Not yet. But I don't know. Everybody's different. People like to go and they want Food and Wine Festival. They want, you know, that's concerts are not something to be. I feel like there's good people there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Candlelight. People like that. I don't know. It's tough choices. I don't know. Then you start thinking about it, and then you end up. It's like me at Disneyland. I'm like, I'm not going to go all day. And then guess what?
I'm there all day. Every time. I know.
Killick64 says, we do 6 night days and 4 park days. Allow a resort day for just hanging out at the pool all day or exploring the resort and going to Disney Springs. Our park days are Commando.
Yeah,
okay.
That's like a
that would be yeah
early entry and
going
shut
very
it down.
Hard, you know, going
for me it means no underpants.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Me also.
No, I mean it also.
Fine with you.
Would
I wouldn't
describe
do that,
that
in a sweaty
too,
environment.
But it's saying that you're taking command of the situation. You're starting first thing in the morning, going all the way till the end of the night. Take a nice little break in the middle.
Well, so. Technically, that would be guerrilla warfare, but that's fine.
I'm not quite sure that's accurate either, but.
I can't read this. T Guz says, we usually do 6 park days. Magic Kingdom twice, Epcot twice, boo. Disney's Hollywood Studios once, and Animal Kingdom once. Our honeymoon trip in 2021, we did 10 park days and
I've
loved
done
it.
It. Yeah.
But you're not there day. When you're doing that many park days, you're not there open to close.
No, absolutely not. I never
physically
been that.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah. I've actually, fun fact, I've never done that. In all my trips to Disney World, even before I lived here.
Gone to park open and close every day?
Never.
I feel like, again, when I talk about Disneyland and how many times I get to, you know, I'm fortunate enough to go there a year, I'm always like, the first trip I finally didn't do it was this one where we ran the half marathon.
It's different.
Because we ran a half marathon. But it was one
different.
Of those where I was like, I can't do it. I can't go there open and close. Like, my feet feel like someone snaps them in half. And then it's just that thing where you're like, I can't walk.
I know. And then you're like, why am I here? I'm like not enjoying it. All I want to do is like lay down and sleep.
I'm telling you what, I'm making Rhino a shirt that says speaking of Disneyland because this
will
find a way to bring Disneyland.
Hey, this is a Disney discussion. And
it
I like
a Disney
to talk.
Discussion.
Everybody brings their love of Disney parks in however they do. And for me, I love Disneyland.
West Coast, Best Coast.
I know people complain about it on the internet. I've seen the comments. And guess what? I don't care.
We do see
because I'm
comments.
Sitting here and you're not. So, Ginny's Bears mom says, For the past 15 years, we've gone 1 to 2 times a year to Walt Disney World. We used to stay 1 week and get 5-day tickets. For the last 5 years or so, we've stayed for 2 weeks in the summer, my goodness, and get 3 or 4 day Disney tickets. But we now incorporate Universal. We get Universal annual passes and go almost every day for a few hours, not full days, that we aren't in Disney parks. When we go for a week over Christmas or spring break, we'll do 1 or 2 Disney days and the rest is Universal. We had a trip where we stayed on Disney property with 0 Disney park days and just went to Universal. That's interesting because
that is interesting.
The tip that we usually, that Craig often throws out is staying at Universal and just going to Disney.
Right.
So that's why, I hadn't considered being like, you should go to Universal for some of that too, but then that involves you being at a theme park and not resting again. But I do think Universal is 100% worth the investment to do at least one of those days.
Right. Yep.
I mean, it's tough because I hate saying this as a Disney fan, but I'm also a very big Universal fan. I think Universal has positioned themselves and will continue with Epic Universe that now when you really do think about it, a split stay with Universal doesn't make as much sense anymore. If you're talking a standard 7-day vacation, you are saying if you are a fan of both, it's probably coming down to the point now where 1 year is going to be Disney and 1 year is going to be Universal. And I can't believe it's getting to that point.
It'd be too much.
Yeah,
too much.
And I mean, perfect for, you know, the Brits and other people coming from overseas or people who are lucky enough to take 2 weeks in a row. But it blows my mind.
I'm sorry. I feel bad for my comment I made about sitting here and not the people out there. So I'm sorry about it.
You're kind.
You have time to apologize in the plug section.
I do. I apologize. And speaking of Disneyland, beginning Thursday, March 28th through Sunday, May 12th, guests can join Goofy for a springtime breakfast, brunch, or dinner buffet at Goofy's Kitchen at the Disneyland Hotel. Also, Clarabelle Cow is set to make her first appearance at the Disneyland Resort, restaurant. Excuse me. So
that's gonna be a good time.
There you go.
I'm assuming this is some sort of new news. Or did I just miss it in the updates?
Well, Jackie texted me, but a moment ago, so I'm going to assume this just came out because the article is also dated
breaking
today.
News. Well, I didn't hear the breaking news jingle. Beep, beep,
beep. That's not me. That's on our sound guy, Hannah.
Me.
You're going to become our, what's the guy's name in the police academy who does all the sounds? Michael. Oh.
It is your... Michael. The beeps, the creeps, and the sweeps. Yeah.
But anyway, I'll just read the article here since I just brought it up, and I do apologize again for the comment I made before. But Chef Goofy and his pals will be donning new looks to showcase their springtime best, and the restaurant will be decorated to celebrate the season for a limited time. In addition to a regular breakfast or dinner favorites, the springtime breakfast, brunch, and dinner buffets will feature options such as a poached jumbo shrimp cocktail, a snow crab claw cocktail, orange saffron salmon, a carving station with prime rib, and more. So there's different pricings. It looks like the adults breakfast and brunch is $62 and the dinner is $75. The children is $34 for the breakfast and brunch and then $37 for the evening.
What was that price again? Sorry.
$75 for dinner for an adult.
So it's crab claws.
From 4 to 9 p.m.
It can't even be fresh crab, can it?
Probably not.
Coming all the way down from the Pacific?
Probably not. It's not fresh crab here either. Don't be fooled.
I don't know. ask James Cameron.
I was into this.
I don't. I'm not a crab buffet. It takes one buffet full of crab that makes you super sick to then swear off buffet crab forever.
Oh, when that happened to you?
That was somewhere around maybe 2008 at Seven Springs Ski Resort in Pennsylvania. They had all you can eat seafood buffet with lobster tails and crab legs, and I won the battle, but I lost the war.
God, sort of your plumbing.
I'll explain more on the after show.
Okay.
That's okay. Thank you.
Well, that's the tease for the after show, I guess. Yum. I've only been to Goofy's Kitchen once, and the last day of the ABD, I think you go there or something like that. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Peanut butter and jelly breakfast pizza.
I know.
I enjoyed it.
It's a great restaurant when you don't have to pay to be there.
You see, so because I've never had that experience because it was included in the trip.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've never eaten there on my own. I prefer in terms of buffets. I actually do like Storytellers a little bit more. I do like the peanut butter and jelly pizza. There's a couple things at Goofy's Kitchen I like.
Yeah, there's something else. I
just like Storytellers.
Of.
I like the vibe of it better. Mm-hmm. I feel like I eat more when I'm over there than I do at Goofy's. But, you know, it's if you want.
Goofy's is a little more chaotic, the environment, because there's a lot of napkin waving,
like
a lot of
Chef
hooting,
Mickey's
hollering. Kinda. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
That sound good, though.
I think that's it. Craig has written me off. I believe a famous pig said this. That's all, folks. When planning your next Disney, Walt Disney World, or Disneyland. I said it again. I'm so sorry. Disney Cruise Line vacation. Don't forget about Dreams Unlimited Travel. You can get the help of some wonderful travel agents, much like Hannah Anderson. And you can request a no obligation quote today by heading over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Don't forget, if you are one of our Patreon supporters, we will be doing a live post show immediately following this. A couple of minutes so we can inhale food, and then this, and that is going to be over at patreon.com/DizUnlimited, where you can learn more about different types of perks that we offer over there for being one of our supporters. If you are watching this on YouTube, please don't forget to hit that thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Click that bell. You'll get notified whenever we have new videos or anything like that. And if you are listening to this, please, whenever you have the time, feel free to rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. So thank you, everybody out there. Really appreciate you all. I don't know why Craig has decided that my going out phrase will always be, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Yummy, yummy.